Amen. Well, we have just finished talking about working the Word. And tonight I want to talk about enemies to faith. And while you're look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. There are things that are going to try to get you down, and like I've said this before, when you choose to follow God, it's not always an easy road. In fact, sometimes it can be harder because you're going against the grain. Remember John Brevere talking about, he saw a vision of everybody just floating along, and he was paddling against the current. And it's hard, but it's easy to float along. And you know what? Sometimes the devil is just out to wear you down. Sometimes, you know, with situations, with your past, with, you know, your thinking, all of these things, you know, maybe you grew up, it wasn't, you know, you had some issues or some challenges when you grew up as a kid. You know, all of these things that are work against you every day, whether it's insecurities or just not knowing or just fear about things. You know, afraid to step out, afraid to do things, all of these things. Why? They're just enemies for everybody that's going to, the enemy tries to throw monkey wrenches into everything that we do. We look at 1 Timothy 6:12. There's one fight that we need to fight, and that's the fight, the good fight for the true faith. That's the New Living Translation, or the King James says, fight the good fight of faith, right? It is, how many of you know, I was reading this stat one time, and the most people that check into the hospital for depression is Sunday night, because Monday's right around the corner, statistically speaking. And that's the highest percentage of people. Why? Because they're thinking about Monday morning. I've had that before. I'm sitting there Sunday, and I'm like, had a great weekend. And then I got to go to work tomorrow, right? And it's a mental warfare sometimes, isn't it? To do, just to, you know, to get up and maybe sometimes it's like go to work or, you know, to parent or whatever it is. There's challenges in our life, and that's a fight to do it. But it's a good fight, right? Yeah. It's something that we can do. Oh, thanks, Pastor. I'm all depressed now. No, we're not out to depress you tonight. It's like, oh no, Sunday morning, Saturday night's gonna come along, or Sunday night's gonna come along. I'll be all bummed. Nope. There's enemies to our faith, and it's just getting our thinking straight. So we're to fight the good fight of faith, and part of that good fight of faith is controlling our thinking, isn't it? Let's just say, to beginning with walking with God or anything in life, it's all about getting our thinking straight. Jesus, what did Jesus deal with? And what is the word? Why do we read the Bible? To get our thinking straight. God is never going to change. We're the only one that has the ability to change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Never does. Now, we see in the Bible where there's negotiation with God. You know, he's given some kings like, hey, if you'll repent, I'll give you 10 more years. There are things where there's conditions, but God doesn't change. We're the ones that have to change. So, we're looking at number one, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Turn there. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to fight the devil. I'm going to fight sin. We're not fighting the devil. We're not fighting sin. Now, there is a good fight of faith. Jesus has defeated the devil, all right? And we are to walk and take our authority as believers. We are not subject to circumstances. Jesus was not in the boat when the storm came along and said, oh, there's a storm. All right, guys, we're not going to do this tonight. Jesus was never moved by circumstances. He was never, you know, led by signs. He was never led by these things. He was led by the Spirit of God. First of all, the first failure is to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. You are a threat to the devil if you understand what you have. That's why we see so many centuries and so many years that those people who controlled the church years ago did not want people to read the Bible for themselves. Well, just priests will tell you how to do and what to think and how to go. You just do what they say, right? That's when they get into penance. You got to pay a certain amount of money and then we'll forgive your sins. Or you're going to pay your way into heaven, or we're going to pay to do this. Well, that's not what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. The devil is going to lie to you if you are a Christian and tell you and try to bring up your past all the time. The devil wants to destroy your confidence to go towards him. Mr. Kerr was just talking about baseball. I remember, you know, we're going to be doing softball here soon, so next week, so be praying for me. I'm going to be doing some coaching, so doing some softball. I'm not a real softball guy, but anyway, I remember years ago when I was younger, you know, when you start playing ball and you're learning things, and when the ball would come and the batter would be there, they'd call ducking out, or you'd see kids jump out of the box and they're afraid of it. You're not going to hit anything. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to affect anything if you keep being scared of the ball, right? Or there'd be a ball, the batter would hit the ball to somebody in the position, and then the ball would come to them and they'd jump out of the way. If you're insecure, the devil is going to eat your lunch. Many people think that they don't understand their authority in Christ. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But to be a new creature, people will say, well, you know, the Lord forgave my sins. Well, you're still going to hell if you forgave your sins because you're an old creature. This says we're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become what? New. Like Mr. Gary talking about mercy. God is giving us something we don't deserve. And the devil wants to lie to you and tell you that what God gave you is insufficient. You know, I remember years ago, I would work down, well, I still work from downtown, but this area that I was working downtown, my parking lot, I'd have to go through, you know, kind of walk through, and there's a lot of homeless folks there. And I think to myself all the time, or I'll see, you know, maybe somebody along the side of the road, sometimes, I'll, you know, if I got some cash, I'll give them some money and things like that too, but I'm thinking, what kind of potential that there is that's not being tapped into? You know, what kind of talent is, and I remember this guy, he was a kind of an internet sensation. They called him the Golden Voice or something, and he was homeless, and he had the most amazing voice. And he'd talk, and it's just like warm butter. There's just such a gift on him. All these people that have gifts, but there's just whatever it is, and again, there's a lot of things that, you know, that happen for people to be homeless or whatever, but some people are just believing lies are not worth anything. But God has given us all talents. He's given us all abilities. So it all comes down to believing a lie. This scripture talks about we're a new creature. Whether you feel like it or not, when you're born again, you're a new creature. Well, I don't feel any different. I still look the same in the mirror. Christianity is not about feelings, right? If you want feelings, go to Baskin Robbins. I like to have an ice cream shop. You know what? Everybody likes you. Isn't that great? I never see anybody. We went last night to grab some ice cream out to eat and everything. We grabbed some ice cream and everything. You know, nobody's grumpy in an ice cream shop. You ever notice that? Everybody's happy, you know? You want to be real popular? Give away free ice cream cones. Everybody's going to love you. I mean, all the kids are just like, I want that, I want that. I don't see anybody screaming. Nobody's upset. You know, we got, you know, frozen sugar on a stick. It's great. Enemy number two. So number one is failing to understand what it means to be a new creature in Christ. Jesus never went around. I was just meditating in Matthew today, reading in Matthew, and you're reading to Jesus. He just took care of business, right? He just speak to things. He dealt with the Pharisees. It was because of the anointing on him and the Holy Spirit upon him. What we have is not our ability, but it's God's ability. It's in us to be able to defeat the enemy. You know, the enemy's already defeated. We're just walking things out. And the devil has convinced much of the church and too many people that everything's awful, everything's terrible, and yeah, there's some bad things going on in the world, but we have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony, right? Yes. And we see that there in Revelation chapter 1, 17 and 18, it says what? That he has overcome and he has got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. The enemy number two is failure to understand our place in Christ. Brother Hagin talks about this, and it's really good. He's talking about one when he was on the road. And it's very good to understand the in him scriptures. In him scriptures. Or, you know, you can also meditate on in him scriptures, in whom. Write those down. There's about 140, I think, in the New Testament. But begin to meditate on those things, because Adrian and I were just talking the other day about, I used to watch, you know, a long time ago, you used to watch the news and you meditate on these things. I don't watch the news. First of all, I don't believe anything on the news, to tell you the truth. I don't believe anything the news media says. Second of all, I remember Smith Wigglesworth talking about when Lester Sumrall came to England, he had a newspaper under his arm, and Smith Wigglesworth would not let Lester Sumrall in his house because I had a newspaper. He says, I don't want those lies in my house. And what is it? It doesn't mean that we have to, you know, stick our head in the sand and not know anything. But what the point is, we get our mind so focused on garbage, we lose sight in him, who we really are. The world is going to tell you, number one, that you're bad to have anything, right? Now it's bad, you know, cows are bad. They're probably going to tell you water's bad, right? You know, cows have gas, and that hurts the environment. And then, you know, I mean, it's like every day something's bad or something's wrong or you're bad for doing this and how dare you believe this and how dare you do this. And we got to get back to the Word of God and get ourselves grounded and focused, because you read the, or you watch the news and everything else too, and you're bad and you've got these problems and you probably got this and this is wrong with you and these are bad. And we get into the Word of God and we say we're a new creature. Actually, you know, the Bible talks about we're actually, we don't use the word aliens, but we don't belong in this world system. The world system. But we look at in him, and what we focus on is who are we in Christ? Do you realize that we are joint heirs with Christ there according to Romans chapter 8? Let's turn there. Romans chapter 8, when I was in Adrian and I were in Damata, we would always, always, always read this. We would read Ephesians prayers out of Ephesians chapter 1 and also chapter 3, and we would read this portion of Scripture all the time. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, we'll start there. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, it says led by the Spirit of God. It doesn't mean we're led by signs or, you know, all of these things out here, or, you know, fleeces or anything else to you. That's Old Testament. Those people, their spirits were dead. They weren't born again. We are saved if you love Jesus, right? If you accept him as Lord and Savior. It says, for me is led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. That doesn't say servants, like they were in the Old Testament. It says sons of God, or we can say daughters of God, right? That means we have a relationship with him. It says, for as you are received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So you ever notice the world system is fear? Right? There's a big difference here in the scripture. It is the world system is about fear. What is fear? Fear is, first of all, it is the insecurity to not approach God. That's what fear is. A definition of fear. And then it goes on and says, because of what? The spirit of adoption. We're going to find it here in a minute. We can cry, Abba, Father. So because of our relationship with Christ and because of in him and who we are, we can now have a relationship with God. Now he's not just God like the Old Testament and the religious folks. They said he's God. And they want to kill Jesus because Jesus referred to God as Father. Then the next verse, it says, the Spirit itself, what? Bears witness with our spirit that what? We are children of God. Now, verse 17 is very important. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Say that again. Joint heirs with Christ. Everything that Jesus did at the cross belongs to us. Everything accomplished, we now have because of him. And it's not because of us, it's because of him. That way we may be also glorified together. Back up here. So that if so be that we suffer with him. Oh, I don't like that part. Right? A lot of preachers on TV, they're all just, you know, oh, you're going to get saved and all your problems are going to wash away and all the bills disappear and it's just wonderful and it's just great. It is wonderful serving God. I'm not saying that. But like I mentioned earlier, you know, we don't want to talk about the suffering part. I'm really popular in my work things because everybody's like, hey, we're going out to have some drinks. How about you? It's like, no. No thanks. Hey, we're going to have all going to get together, go for happy hour. I'll be happy that hour. Because I'll have more money in my pocket than you afterwards. and then we'll get a DUI on the way home. I got Jesus. That's all I need, right? It's popular. I remember sometimes going out to eat, and then I remember we was, I'd be in offices and things like that. And again, your standard, if you're going to walk with Christ, you should have a higher standard than the world system. But I remember one time, I was in an office and I worked, you know, a lot of women there that I worked with, and we were all going to go out to eat. And they're like, hey, we're going to jump in the car with you. I'm like, no, you're not. You're not. And you would have thought that I let off a stink bomb in that office, right? I am not going to run around with a bunch of women in my car, right? Even though, again, we're all, you know, in the office together or whatever, it's the appearance of evil. No, I mean, they look like I just took a 2x4 and whacked them upside the head. Because they do not think like that, right? Okay, I'm just going to say this too. Not so religious. If ladies, if you were in a car and it's snowstorm and it's the difference between you getting hypothermia and me giving you a ride home, I'll give you a ride home, okay? All right, I want to die, you know, frozen in a car. But what I'm saying is, for the most part, we have a higher standard, right? And also, too, we have the revelation, and this is something, too, that we have a covenant. I don't have time to talk about covenant tonight, but the Apostle Paul said that I am now enslaved to Christ. What does that mean? And I am a bondservant to him. Well, of course, we're relationship. He's my brother. God's our father. But what it does mean is I am not my own anymore. And because of that, and because of covenant, I am not my own anymore. But that everything, when you're in a covenant with someone, it means this. What they have belongs to you, and what you have belongs to them. So if I'm completely sold out to Christ, that means that whatever he has and I need it at the time, he's bound by covenant to give it to me because it's because of Christ. Am I boring you tonight? Failure to understand our place in Christ is the second one we just mentioned. Brother Hagin talks about a lady that she had gone to a seminary and she had worked in a church. And she, began to meditate on in him scriptures, and she says, I don't even feel like the same person anymore. Because having a revelation of who we are in Christ. Enemy number three is failure to understand righteousness. This is kind of what we talked about, but 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I'm going to read this in New Living Translation. It's the verse, God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, here we go, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Now, there's a big debate about this. They think Jesus, well, you know, but Jesus never sinned. How could he, you know, he never went to hell. You know, no, he went to hell. And it wasn't because of what the sins he committed, but our sins were placed upon you. He became sin. He became our sin for us and paid the price. 1 John 1:7 says, New Living Translation, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, what cleanses us from all sin. I remember talking to people, and this is the biggest robber. They'll say things like, well, and I've talked to people, I said, why don't you come to church? Can I, you know, oh, I just got to get things straight before. You know, that's weird, because why would you try to get things cleaned up before you go to church? It's like cleaning your car before you go to the car wash. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't make any sense. I don't know what it is lately. It's like when I wash my truck, it's like every time I turn around, it rains again. Or, you know, like I just got out and 4 hours later, I was like, what did I do this for? You know what? Jeremiah 31:34 says, and they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord, for everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. Here we go. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. You've been around people before, you know, they like to dig up everything else. Well, you did this, like you're kids. Oh, well, you said this. Oh, well, you did this. I remember when you did this. God's like, I don't remember nothing. I have completely forgotten. Now, the devil, on the other hand, likes to show a Polaroid of something old that happened years ago that don't exist, that does not exist. I always like to think that. When the devil comes along and tries to condemn you of something you've done in the past, it is a Polaroid of something that does not exist anymore. That's why you've got to believe the word of God when God says, I forgive you and I don't remember anymore, but then you keep bringing it back up. And I'm sure God's thinking to himself, why are they bringing this back up when I don't even know what they're talking about anymore? First John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. God is so faithful to cleanse us when we made mistakes. See, we have kind of two extremes in the world. One of them, we have people who beat themselves up all the time and they're just full of guilt, full of shame. The devil's beating them up all the time. You know, then we have the other side who thinks that they're greater than peanut butter, right? They just think they're the most incredible thing and they don't need God and they don't know nothing and I got it all together. And those people scare me, right? I mean, actually both do, but the people that are full of pride, they are have a definite inaccurate self-assessment. Who does that sound like? It's the devil. The devil has the ultimate inaccurate self-assessment. I mean, I know I'm not the smartest person, and I haven't been around in the world, and I haven't been like in the spirit realm around thousands and thousands and maybe millions of years, like some of these spirits, you know, like maybe angels and whatever, what have you. But if I'm in front of God that long, and I see all of his glory and I have the tenacity to think that I'm going to defeat him, there is some serious mental problems going on, right? I mean, anybody that thinks that they can defeat God and overthrow him and his kingdom and all this other stuff has got to have serious psychological brain damage somewhere. Something's going on that they're just not clicking on all cylinders, right? But that same attitude gets off on people. Number four, failure to understand our right to use the name of Jesus. I think sometimes we don't receive because we just don't ask, or we're not taking our authority. The Bible talks about every knee will bow, every tongue confess that what? Jesus is Lord. We look at John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. And it says, at that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth, you will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Asking, using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Now, I want to stop here a minute. When Jesus was talking here, he was walking around, and we'll see it's in Luke and also in Matthew and other places, two places in the Gospels, where Jesus sent the 12 out two by two. And he gave them authority, and that authority was theirs. And while Jesus walked around on the earth, he gave the disciples authority. They didn't say things in Jesus' name, but he gave them the authority, right? But here he's saying in that day, meaning right what we're in right now, after he left, we're going to use his name. So that's very important. Because too many people pray, oh God, please help me. But the power is in Jesus' name. And we forget that too many times. Because the real avenue to pray is we're praying to God because he's the supplier. When Jesus walked the earth, the Holy Spirit was the supplier, the power of God. But now, we can go to God in the name of Jesus. Why is the name of Jesus important? Because the name of Jesus is what we identify with through the covenant. Does that make sense? People say, well, I pray to God. Well, that's great. But you know what really perks God's ear is when we say, in the name of Jesus. That's where the authority comes from, right? I used to work in a bank years ago. And I actually kind of do technically work for a bank, kind of, sort of, in a roundabout way that I'm under. But I used to work for a bank, and the people would come in, and, you know, they could come up to, I could take them to the teller and say, okay, you know, there's a teller there. And they could say, I want to have some money. Well, guess what? I mean, the teller's there, and there's money under the counter, because they pull that drawer out, and there's money there. And I mean, the money's there. The person that can give you the money is there. Everything's great. But that person looks at you like, so? I need $1,000. And? It's kind of like, what's the magic word? It's not please, even though it's nice. It's called an account number. Right? And the name of Jesus is the account number that we can access. What we need, God is the one that has the goods, and that name of Jesus is like that account number that we now have authority. I remember years ago when I was, one time I was in there, and there was a guy, he'd come in, and he was homeless. It was just hilarious. And he just smelled really bad. I talked to him, real friendly guy and everything. He'd come in and get $20 like every once in a while. And they say, yeah, he lives under a bridge. He had like $100,000 in his checking account. And he's living under a bridge. He is I'm thinking, you could buy a cheap house and live in it, or like a cheap somewhere. He's just not, he's got the means, but he's not drawing on it. How many Christians are like that, right? How many of us? I've been there before too. See, that's the end of our faith, is not having the understanding of what we have. What do we have in Christ? Our faith. We have healing, right? God said, I will supply all your needs according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You can have provision there. We can have joy in the Lord, right? So the Lord, he says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We can have forgiveness. We don't have to be feel guilty all the time. Whatever we've done, we can go to him. It can be taken care of. What is the account number? The account number is the name of Jesus. That's how we're going to access things. People do not use the name of Jesus. We see that name of Jesus, that demons mobile, right? Sickness and disease have to leave in the name of Jesus. Mark 16, 15 through 20. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall what? Follow them that believe. We'll kind of wrap things up here. Enemy number five is failure to act upon the word. The biggest deception that your people have all the time, talked to people before, but all everything, they are failure to act upon the word. You are deceived when you don't act on the word. What I mean by that is, I've had conversations with people before where it's like, I mean, prime example, years ago I saw this guy on the news. He's just brilliant. He robbed the bank, and he was so upset because he prayed that God would help him rob the bank, and he got arrested. Okay? We get the dumb criminal award of the week for this guy, right? We don't ask God, for example, we're always questioning one is, we don't do the word, meaning, is it okay if I steal? Is it okay if I, you know, hit this person? Or I mean, these are ridiculous things to say, but the point is, when we don't do what we know the word tells us to do, we are deceiving ourselves and it's an enemy. Matthew 8:17 says, he himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Proverbs 3:5-7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. How many people are trying to figure everything out in life on their own? I was had a class one time, a professor was talking about, and we were reading these papers and talking about business stuff, and this one professor in some other country, because I was studying international trade and things like this class, but anyway, this other professor was talking about doing business with other countries and everything, and he made a mention, you know, one danger, if you go to America, you might get shot. I'm like, you're right. We're all just Yosemite Sam over here, just shooting it up. You know, you might get shot. Bullets are flying everywhere. But it was just the ignorance of people trying to figure everything out on their own, not having all the facts. We think that we're going to try to figure everything out on our own. That's why it's important to be led by the Spirit, like we were just talking about earlier. You know, when you're led by the Spirit and you pray about things, but I know what it's like when you're, you know, we've all had those situations where you're trying to do something and something's just not working, right? It feels like you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It's just not working out. Sometimes you need God to help you with some things. Seek his will in all you do. How many people aren't doing that? Bible says that. And he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed, here we go, with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I was like King David. You know, there when he was when the Amalekites came down, and you know, the Hebrews and King David were there off the war. The Amalekites came down, took all their women and children, their wives and all their stuff. And the interesting thing is, I love how King David stopped. Now, King David's in the midst of a storm here. He has his men that are plotting to kill him because they're thinking, how could he have done this? They didn't have people here. Now our wives are gone. Now our kids are gone. All our stuff's gone. They're over here plotting to kill him. Okay? David, by the way, has two wives and his children. So they're gone. So David is in the midst of personal trauma, right? All of a sudden your family's gone and you got these heathens that you have no idea what's going on and you're really, really concerned. The people you thought were following you are now behind the scenes plotting to kill you. And he comes and the scripture says, and he inquired of the Lord. And he said, what should I do? Now, how many people, now I know David, he screwed a lot of things up. I know there was, he had a lot of things that he shouldn't have done. But the Bible also says that he's a man after God's own heart. But how many people, see, he did the scripture here in Proverbs. He stopped, trusted the Lord with his whole heart. Now, David was not saved. He was not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Didn't have any of those things. And he's in the midst of trauma. And he's sitting back thinking to himself, wait a minute. I gotta figure this out. Because he had several opportunities. He could have just go, I'm just going to do it by myself. And then God would have been, okay, just do it on your own. Or he could have laid down with a lot of people, oh, I'm just going to die. And then he might have died. And then what did God say? The Lord came back and said, yeah, go pursue. I'm going to be with you. First Corinthians 8:1 says, that knowledge puffs up, but what charity edifies. I was like, you know, knowledge puffs up. It's like, I've been trying to read as much stuff as possible. And, you know, to me, it's the opposite. The more I learn, the more I figure out, I don't know. You ever notice that? Like when you read things? I mean, I'm not an accounting. I mean, we got some accounting people over here like Sarah and Joe, and they're all accounting wizards and stuff. And I got this book for accounting for dummies, and I'm like, that's me. This is the finance stuff. I love it. But then it's like the accounting stuff I'm reading, and I'm like, I don't know nothing. I'm trying to figure it out. Like, I took one class. Anyway. But it's just one of those things where I'm reading, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I guess. And I'm just trying to get a grasp on this stuff to have a better understanding on some things. But some people, they start, you know, they can puff up. And First Corinthians, as we're going here, we'll close with this. 1 Corinthians 9:26 says, "So run with purpose in every step." Here we go. I am not just shadow boxing. The New Living Translation says, "I got to admit, I've done that before." What that means is, you know what? Sometimes we're not led by the Lord, and we're not seeking Him. The Apostle Paul here is telling those at Corinthians, he's like, he's talking about like exercising. And what he means by this is, we're just going through a bunch of motions. We're just shadow boxing. Watch those Rocky movies. And he does all that like shadow boxing and stuff. We're just wasting a bunch of energy. And that's an enemy of our faith, isn't it? We're not accomplishing anything. We're just wasting energy. And then the last one here. And I would say real faith is the child of the knowledge of God's word. Real faith is going to be focused on the word of God. Because when you read the word of God, I was just reading this morning just about Jesus talking about, oh, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring war. Now that sounds kind of harsh. But it means this is, my word and my truth and my spirit, it's going to cause division among people. And people are going to love you and hate you. The last one is enemy of faith is number six, failure to hold fast to our confession of faith. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man's belief, here we go, unto righteousness, with the what? The mouth is made unto salvation. How many times in the Bible do we see that people said the wrong thing and then they ended up having a personal meltdown or a disaster? Mark 11:23-24. Truly I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says, he shall have whatever he says. And therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. I know for myself personally, there's some things that I'm believing for that I keep saying out of my mouth, I'm going to do this. I'm going to accomplish this. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to find resources. I'm going to do this. This is going to happen. I'm going to do this. All the time, this is what I'm going to do. This is my plan. I keep speaking this out. In my personal life, some things I'm believing for. You know what's interesting too? I'm speaking this. I'm saying I'm going to find the reason. I keep speaking these things. And you know what? All of these things are starting to come to me because I'm speaking them out. These are biblical concepts that we need to use. You know, faith is measured by our confession. Eventually, we'll become what we confess, whether that's good or bad. And I like this. This is my 12th closing. The woman with the issue of blood, I love this. It says, if I may touch, Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34, you can read the whole thing. But it says, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I just touch it. You know, all those people are throwing him in, and then Jesus said, whoa, power went out of me. Where'd that go? And then the disciples thought, are you kidding me? There's like hundreds of people here, and you said somebody touched you? What does it mean? The touch, it just means that the anointing went out, the power of God flowed out of him into somebody. It says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. And so, 1 Timothy 6:12 again, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto that you are also called, and you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. But we're going to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? What is that? We're not going to get our thinking. We're not going to submit to thinking of this world system. We're going to get confused. We can, you know, get into the Word of God. We're going to have a new revelation of what it means to be a new creature in Christ. We're going to understand our place in Christ. We're going to understand our righteousness, which is we are correctly positioned with God because of Jesus. We're going to act on the Word. We talked about that several weeks leading up to this. And then also, we're not going to have failure to hold fast to our confession. Amen? And I enjoy, you know, the interesting thing is I listen to people and I enjoy certain things that people will say about. I like watching and reading biographies of people, you know, how they came out of something and they did something and they did this and they did this, and you'll see a lot of successful people. They'll say, I wrote this down, I made a list, or I kept saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Where, again, it's confession. There's biblical principles people can use that, you know, things can happen for people. But you know what? We've got God. We've got more than the world does. Amen? And, you know, I just remember, you know, heathens and people, even businessmen and business people, they may be complete heathens, but they'll tithe because there's a spiritual aspect to it that they realize that there's a benefit there for them. You know, we as believers, we can walk these things out and have obviously greater than the world, but we want the world to have them too, those people to have the same thing. Father, we just come before you tonight. Lord, we bless you tonight. Lord God, we thank you for your word, that we can have everything in your word, Lord Jesus. And we bless you tonight, Lord. We thank you that we're not going to fall and our faith isn't going to be hindered, Lord Jesus, because of experiences or things that have happened or our feelings or anything like that. But we're basing off the word of God, and we base things off of the word of God, Lord Jesus. We thank you that it's like a seed that we can have 30, 60, and 100-fold return according to Mark chapter 6. Lord, we thank you for it. And tonight I just want to pray too as we close. You know, if you need prayer for anything, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and or never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, anything, we want to pray with you afterwards. Amen. It's just so wonderful just to walk with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm a testimony myself. I just had addiction problems and everything else too, and God supernaturally delivered me. And it's not by my will, but God just did something in me supernaturally. And God can do that same thing for you. Amen? We just thank you, Lord, that people are blessed this week. God, we thank you that they're led by your Spirit. And we thank you're going to reveal yourself strong to them in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, have a great week.